Hello and welcome to the Manological Podcast. This is episode 4 of series 4. And coming up, we have our teacher interview with year 2 teacher Mr. Goldsworthy. We hear about the latest exciting addition to Manologe, taking up residence in our brand new beehives. We also hear about our school counsellors, the top 10 richest sports stars, top 10 Sega games, and what true best friends do to show it. There's also a Premier League roundup and a report on Apple's latest release, the Apple Vision Pro. But kicking us off, here are Dylan, Joey and Karen in Year 3 to tell us about the Manologe bees.
All about bees in Manologe.
Hey, I'm Joey.
Hi, I'm Karen.
And I'm Dylan.
And we're going to tell you about bees in Manologe school.
We got our Manologe bees on the 1st of June.
Only honeybees make honey, and we've got honeybees, so we get honey, and...
We've already got a bit of honey.
It's so yummy.
We had 2,000 bees, but half of them decided to fly off, so we now have 1,000 bees. We're also sad that half of our bees have gone.
If you want to find the bees, they're next to the allotments.
Please look after the bees. Thank you.
We all have a joke for you. Do you want to hear it? Remember to be happy. Do you get it?
Be as in be happy. I thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Bye.
Next up, Harry and Harley in Year 4 are going to tell us about our school counsellors.
Hi, I'm Harry.
And I'm Harley.
And today we're going to talk about Manologe school counsellors from 2023 going into 2024.
From year 2 going to year 3, in 2R Aaron, in 2G Ruby, and in 2CS Aaron P.
From year 3 going to year 4, in 3H Jamie, in 3R Hugo, and in 3M Matilda.
Going from year 4 to year 5, in 4J Kai, in 4C Louis, and in 4O George.
From year 5 going to year 6, in 5E Heidi, in 5M Jamie, and in 5D Amelia.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast.
Now, do you know what true best friends do to show it? Here are Layla and Fiore in year 3 to tell us what they think.
Hi, my name is Fiore.
And my name is Layla.
We're best friends. So we're going to tell you what we do that proves we're best friends.
Number one, we make friendship bracelets. And we'll probably make some more.
Number two, at the end of school, we always walk out together. We do that every day we can.
Number three, they should always have a secret handshake. Shh, keep it a secret.
Number four, for their birthday, they always know what the other person wants.
You want a Pop-It pencil case and a chili bottle.
Correct, how did you know?
Because we're best friends. Five, now, we don't know if this one's true.
But legend has it that best friends have twin telepathy.
Which means they can think of the same thing at the same time.
Cool. Guess I know what we're going to do after this.
Anyway, thanks for listening to our part of the podcast. Bye.
Lachlan and Hugo are here next to run us through the top 10 richest sports stars.
Hello, and welcome to our part of the podcast called Richest Athletes.
Number 10, Lionel Messi is often referred to the day's best scorer player. He is only competitor for the title of being Cristiano Ronaldo with a net worth of 280 million.
Number 9, Philip Alfred Mickelson, nicknamed Lefty, is an American professional golfer. He has won 43 events on the PGA Tour, including 5 major championships, with a net worth of 400 million.
The former Manchester United star and England captain David Beckham is still outstrips the top Premier League earners despite hanging up his boots for 5 years ago with a net worth of 450 million.
Number 7. The Portuguese international Cristiano Ronaldo had a stellar 2016 with both club and country. lifting the Champions League with Real Madrid in May before captaining his country to European glory at the Euros in the summer with a net worth of 500 million.
Back at the top of the pile since his last outing in 2015 against Manny Pacquiao, Floyd has earned himself a whopping 200 million plus extra endorsements, but his bout with UFC superstar Conor McGregor with a net worth of 565 million.
Number 5. Irvin Magic Johnson is a former star of the Los Angeles Lakers. While a Laker, he was a 5-time champion and 3-time final MVP. Magic was a great of his generation. He retired in 1996 and has been extremely successful in his entrepreneurial ventures with a net worth of 600 million.
Number 4. Roger Federer's 16-year streak Grand Slam appearances ended at 65 in May 2016 when a back problem caused him to pull out of the French Open with a net worth of 700 million.
Let's start with King LeBron James' sporting achievements. LeBron has won 4 NBA championships, 4 NBA MVP awards, 4 NBA Finals MVP awards, 3 All-Star MVP awards, and 2 Olympic golds with a net worth of over 1 million.
Number 2. In his prime, Tiger Woods is the best golfer that the world has ever seen. Tiger Woods made more than $1.4 billion since turning pro in 1996. He became the first sports billionaire.
Regarded as the best baseball player of all time, Michael Jordan has an estimated net worth $1.9 billion, according to Forbes.
Thanks for listening to our part of the podcast.
Bye.
Next, sticking with sport, Rishav in Year 3 is going to round up the Premier League top 5 this season.
Hi, my name is Rishav, and today I'm going to talk about the Premier League teams and facts about them. Number 1, Manchester City. Manchester City have won the Premier League 3 times in a row. Number 2, Arsenal. Arsenal have qualified for the Champions League this season. Number 3, Manchester United. Manchester United won the Carabao Cup and qualified for the Champions League next season as well. Newcastle qualified for the Champions League too. And number 5, Liverpool. This season, Liverpool qualified for the Europa League. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast.
Now, Arthur in Year 4 has a top 10 Sega games for us.
Hello, my name is Arthur, and I am here to tell you about my favourite Sega games that I have played, in my opinion. They are number 10, Sonic Spinball. I like this because it is a pinball machine, and there are different contraptions that use different buttons as well as controlling the ball. This game was created in 1993. Sonic 3D Blast. I like this game because it's 3D and also the levels are different and their graphics are a bit more crisp than all of the other Sonic the Hedgehog games that I have played. And also because it's 3D. This game was created in 1996. Number 8. Toe Jam and Earl. I like this game because there are lots of levels to advance through and the graphics and animes are let's just say I like them enough to put this on this list. This game was created in 1991. Number 7, Golden Axe. I like this game because the characters are cool and their abilities, well, like what I said about the graphics and animes in Toe Jam and Earl. Number 6, Golden Axe 2. I like this game because the characters are different and the game has new enemies to fight. This game was created in 1991, and Golden Axe was created in 1989. Sorry if I missed that out. Number 5 is Golden Axe 3. I like this game because its intro is in 20th century pixels, and also the levels are also different. This game was created in 1993. Number 4, Alien Storm. This is basically Golden Axe, but it's aliens. That's why I like it. This game was created in 1990. Number 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I like it for reasons I can't explain, but still like it. This game was created in 1992. 2, Sonic the Hedgehog 1. I like it for the same reasons as above. This game was created in 1991. Number 1, Sonic Mania Plus. This game was created in 2018. I like this game so much that if I wrote all of the reasons down, it would break the computer. Thanks for listening to my part of the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Our Year 6s were very interested in the recent Apple product launch, so have researched and summarised their thoughts on the Apple Vision Pro.
Today we will be sharing our opinions on the newly announced Apple Vision Pro.
This seems like an amazing AR headset.
It certainly is. The tech and immersive experience are amazing.
The 2-hour battery life is bad, but you won't notice when the charging block is in your pocket.
I feel this will be amazing for immersion whilst watching things.
The design is sleek and not too bulky and portable.
Although the amount of seclusion scares me, as now we will be even more separated.
It will make life so easy when you are exploring the Vision Pro.
The sound is very helpful, as 2 speakers are played into your ears.
The price is very high, though. I mean, who's going to pay £3,499 for a headset when they can just use their phone?
Although the price is worth it with the amount of tech, and Apple hasn't made the product for now, but for later.
Apple have released this so that in a few years, it will probably be the modern smartphone, and they want to be ahead of everyone else.
Such as Samsung and Sky.
What about Meta?
But the true Meta Quest Pro is a big competitor with the Vision Pro.
The Vision Pro can do everything the Meta Quest Pro can do, but better. This includes higher quality mixed reality and more immersive hand tracking.
Well then, I guess the Vision Pro really is the best headset there is.
Agreed.
Thanks for listening.
Next up, we have our weekly teacher interview. So here are Sonia, Dylan and Rushiv putting the questions to Year 2 teacher, Mr. Goldsworthy.
Hello, Mr. Goldsworthy.
Hi, I'm Sonia.
I'm Dylan.
And I'm Rushiv.
Can we ask you some questions?
Of course you can.
When did you start teaching?
I started teaching in 2012.
How long have you been teaching for?
I've been teaching just over 10 years now, about 11 years.
How old are you when you started teaching?
So I became a teacher just after my 30th birthday was when I started my teacher training.
What is your favourite lesson to teach?
Oh, that's a tricky one because there's lots and lots of lessons that I love teaching, but I'd probably say I really love teaching creative writing because I really love reading people's stories and I always really love science, obviously, because I love doing experiments.
Are you doing any projects in science now?
It's difficult because in year two we've just finished all our work. You'll remember that we're doing our production and everything now. But we did spend a lot of time looking at all the habitats around the school and doing that. And we spent a lot of time over at the pond, which was really exciting.
Like we did.
Yeah, so.
What was your least favourite lesson to teach?
Least favourite test? Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, I like them all, really. Possibly geography sometimes, because lots of other lessons, I think I know how to make them really, really exciting, hopefully. Yeah. And sometimes geography, I'm not quite as sure how to make maps and things as exciting. But, you know, I'm sure they're still okay. And it's not that I don't like geography.
What was your favourite lesson when you were at school?
Oh, definitely English. I loved writing stories and things like that, and I do that all the time when I was at school or if I was at home. I'd always love doing that.
What was your least favourite lesson to do when you were at school?
When I was at school, probably things like RE and things like that, because I just wasn't very interested in it when I was younger, which is sad because I'm kind of all interested in it now, but just when I was at school, wasn't something that I liked to do.
What year did you teach when you first came to this school?
At this school? Well, that's an easy question to answer because I've always taught year two at Manor Lodge. Year two is the only year group I've taught here.
So you probably really like year two.
I do really like year two.
Do you,
do
you,
Do you know, I'd never taught year two before I came to Manor Lodge, and when I first came, I was a bit scared because I was thinking, oh, how am I going to get on? Because I've been a year six teacher before I came here.
Do you want to change years? Which year would it be?
Well, you know, so I came from year six down to year two, and that was quite scary. And I thought, well, I'm not sure if I'll go any further than that. And then now I think maybe I could teach even younger children, and maybe I could go to year one, or maybe even reception. But then I do, well, maybe, but then I do think it would look really, really silly because I'm so tall and the children would be so small, wouldn't it? So
they'll be up to your shoulder, well, not your shoulder, your knees.
Your knees, yeah, I think so.
Did you teach at another school? And if you did, what was it called?
Yeah, so before I came here, I taught in a school called Oakmere Primary School, which is just over the other side of Potter's Bar. And I taught there for about 5 years or so before I came to Manor Lodge.
When you first started teaching, were you scared to be a teacher?
Terrified. This is the thing that children don't understand, that it's really scary being a teacher and standing in front of everyone for the first time. And you know how you feel when you have to stand in front of a group of people and you're a bit worried? Yeah. Your teachers still feel the same, even if they're much bigger.
Like in a production or a assembly.
Exactly. And it's only just because you do it lots and lots and you get used to it that you get a bit less scared as you're doing it. But when you first start doing it, oh, it was terrifying trying to teach people and thinking all about it.
Yeah.
Tell us three things that you like about being a teacher.
I like that every day is different, because before I had a job where I was in an office and every day was the same and it was really boring. Whereas every day is different when you're a teacher. I love working with all the children because seeing you all grow and learn new things is great. And also, I love it because I learn lots of new things teaching you. When I'm teaching people about things, often I have to go and find out things myself, and that's really exciting.
So you basically learn more things as well?
Yeah, definitely. I've learned loads becoming a teacher that I didn't know when I had been at school.
Did you like school when you were young?
Yeah, I think so. I must have liked it enough to become a teacher later on, so I think I did.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast.
We finish things off, as always, with some music. This week's GarageBand creation for our intro was made by Sonia and Dylan. And now to bring the pod to a close, here's Obba playing Puppet's Dance on the trombone.
Manor Lodge School Podcast.